So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys?
Yo, what's up, brother?
Hey, bro, you heard my voice, man. I'm disappointed, man, with the idea of even thinking about trading him. Man, he's 26, 27 years old, man. And sure, you stay hurt a lot, man, but that can change. And I think we're going to be kicking ourselves in the butt, man, in the near future. I think about what Dylan Brooks said. We always seem to get rid of people a little too soon. And I think this timing is wrong. And I know you guys, you know, you're on board of him pretty much leaving. But I think time going to tell who's right at the end, man. So I'm just disappointed, man. But anyway, you know, like I said, it's a business, too. It's not just about him being on the court. It's a business. And I believe as soon as he get on another team, he's going to be just like the rest of the players that left the Grizzlies, man. They're going to be tearing us up, you know. And Ja, you know, Ja got a chip on his shoulder. If we do Ja like this and we, you know, just forget about how loyal he is to this city, he's very loyal to this city. And it seems like everybody, they making comments. They saying, bye, Felicia. I mean, you know, we can be respectful at the same time and make a business decision. But I think we're going to regret this one day. It's just my personal feeling.
MC, thanks. He's so loyal to the city, he doesn't play that much. I mean, I could poke holes through all this. And by the way, you can't control what he does for another team. If he ain't going to be that guy for you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If he can't be that player for you, it's all the same. So whatever he does, the next stop is what he does. That's between him and his next team.
I believe Ja has a chip on his shoulder if somebody says something that he's not a perfect player, that he's not a superstar. I think the chip on his shoulder that helped him become the team, the player that he is, has sort of been gone.
It has been gone.
Because guys with chips on their shoulder, they attack their weaknesses, right? And one of Ja's has been 3-point shooting. Are you getting in the gym enough? Are you improving as a player year to year? Forget this availability thing. Defensive sometimes liability had gotten better, but let's be real. 3-point shooting around. What superstar is shooting 20%?
Correct.
I mean that's a you can back off deal. So that's my point. Yeah, there at one point there was a chip on the shoulder. We hadn't seen that with the way he's playing. Too much lately.
Yep.
It had all been, woe is me.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Maybe he gets that back after being traded.
Yep.
Maybe.
Let's go to C. C, you're on. Last word.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you, brother.
I kind of agree with the last two callers. I believe everything they were saying, I pretty much agree with. I believe Ja is something this city need. I believe that maybe if we would have went a different route with the coach,
maybe
we probably would have seen another outcome. I understand he was injured and stuff, but I don't think the coach really fits here. And I can tell you this, if we get rid of Ja right now, we might as well try to keep the task force here, because the crime rate is going to go up for sure.
The crime rate is going to go up if they trade Ja Morant?
I'm not sure I understand the correlation.
It was a joke.
Okay. All right. You know, bro, I don't know, man. Sometimes there might be people out there that think that, you know. So
No.
Okay. Thanks for the levity, C. Right. Thanks for the levity. Right. We need it at a time like this. Yeah. Tony's got the Grizz moving to Nashville. They trade Ja. You know, people got the crime rate going up. So, yeah, it's a different time, man. It's a new, you know.
I appreciate all the calls and all the callers.
And I respect that there's two sides of it. You know, People are always going to remember the best of Ja, right?
I would bottom line it this way. I'm disappointed, too, just like the callers that say we want to keep Ja. No, I'm disappointed right with you that this didn't work out.
Yes.
My difference is I think that Ja has forced our hand here.
Absolutely.
And put you in a position basically telling you, you know, I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyway.
Like to me.
We'll see where this all goes and how it all gets, you know.
Dude, he's going to tattoo his next team on him, too. They're guys with tattoos of all the teams they played for. You ever thought about that? Grizzlies will always be the first one, the one that drafted him. He's going to have the next one on him, too.
I mean, he won Rookie of the Year. You know, he won the Most Improved Player of the Year.
What I'm saying, because we got tattoos, we don't want to go anywhere. Like, right. It will never be anywhere else. Come on now.
Everybody in the world knows that Ja Morant is not happy here, dude. Like, He does a very poor job of hiding it. Like, he's a very hard on his sleeve type dude.
Bro, John Morant could be out right now while he's not playing out in the community and giving away shoes left and right.
He didn't even show up to the ticket giveaway. It was his ticket giveaway, and he didn't even come out.
Yeah.
He gave them to a Grizzly staffer to hand out to
that caller that says he's shown you he wants to be here. I would ask you, has he Z-Bo and them guys did? We knew what that looked like.
Z-Bo giving out hams?
Like, right? Hey, I can't give the organization right now any games on the floor.
Let me show how much
I do want to be here.
Right. And this isn't just a job.
This body language stuff or what I'm wanting. I mean, come on, man.
That's right.
He's spelling it out for you.
Look, you got to think about it like this. Like, it's hard from a teammate's perspective because, like, you know, every year you're going to take, you know, you take a paternity leave, you take vacation. I don't know when you're going to be here on this show.
You're real funny.
You know, it's like, and it. I think it does take away from the chemistry of the show.
You're Ja and Dylan Brooks, and I'm Jaren up at there on the presser. You done walked away because you got another baby to make.
That's crazy.
I love the way you flipped it, though.
I'm not going to make any more babies.
Man, stop. You've said that before.
I can't do
it. And I don't want to limit you and Sam. Riley told me, you guys get down.
We do.
You make babies.
I do. I will say this. I did just get a HELOC from Leaders.
Congrats to you.
That was an exciting process.
Congratulations.
I'm expanding.
The house?
I have to.
You're going to have to for all these children.
All these little. But here's the beautiful part about it. I'm finishing my attic.
Oh.
So that means what? I'm getting further and further away from them.
Are you putting a new man cave in?
Well, it's an office, but yeah.
Very nice.
You know, we're going to call it an office. We're going to keep it professional. You know, but that's where I will spend. You will have to be able. You will have to climb two flights of stairs to reach me. Okay? And so it's going to be tough. It's going to be very difficult to do that. But anyway, appreciate everybody for calling in. And, you know, it's going to be a weird time to navigate. And I think you're right, Jason. Once people see that return, they're going to be less excited about it.
Maybe.
My guess. That's just my guess because I don't personally think Ja Morant has better trade value than Trae Young. I just don't. The Grizzlies have to act like he does, you know, just to try to generate and whatever. But I don't think they're going to get a ton better offers. I hope they do. I hope I'm wrong about it, but I don't think – I haven't talked to anybody in NBA circles that believes he will. So we shall see on that front. Parth Upadhyay is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Tigers game this weekend.
It's like breaking news for Ole Miss in terms of trying to get Trinidad Chambliss.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, season as well.
More good. Breaking news. I appreciate the sports gods, the sports news gods, as we get out of here. They have given us
blessing us
everything we could have ever. I mean, literally, I think it's been a while since we've had a bomb like this on the show, especially locally.
Oh, this is the biggest bomb.
Yeah. I don't even remember what the last one would have been at this point. Because, like, you know, Isola, everybody knew Isola was getting the job. I don't remember when. I guess Jenkins getting fired was the last big thing.
Huff
wasn't a bomb.
Silverfield
didn't happen during the show.
Right, I was thinking of just in general.
No, I'm talking about during, you know what I'm saying?
During your program.
Hot button,
during
bam,
the program.
Wham, bam. There haven't been that many over the years, I got to say.
It's a new day.
But, you know, yeah, it is a new day, and it likely will not include Ja Morant when it's all said and done. But we shall see. Jason, I'm interested in this game tonight now because this news has come out, right? This news has emerged. It's out there. The team knows. How will they play? Will they play relieved that this has been going on behind the scenes and now it's out and now they can kind of like exhale, or will it weigh? I mean, I'll be very curious to see how they respond tonight.
Y'all might get the, I mean, if it did go down like it did with Trae, y'all might get the Ja Morant literally moments
Could.
Saying bye-bye as he walks out of
will
the
he
forum
be,
for
will
the
he
last
be on
time.
The floor tonight is the question.
My guess is you.
He will not.
You keep him behind because it becomes more of a spectacle tonight.
Right.
Everybody that goes
is going to
will
be
have
like,
their
yes.
eye. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where right. is he? Now maybe they run him out there because
right.
they've said openly that they're if the deal's not there, you're going to bring him
That's
back
true.
In.
They
so
didn't leave that
so
open.
If you act different,
yeah,
it goes against that. But
I don't think he's going to be out there. I don't. I'd be surprised if he was out there.
I wonder if we'll get that. But the moment like Trae though, because because you've got the Brooklyn one before you leave for Europe. So if they got something done here in the next couple of days, I mean,
right.
The reports with Trae. Were just a couple of days before it actually went down, right? Stein and, yep. and everybody. And so if it did happen over the next couple of days, then you might have the home game where you have that moment where he is saying bye-bye to some of the ushers and people he knows.
Yep. All right, we'll be back. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Parth Upadhyay is a North Carolina Tar Heel great. along the likes of Tyler Hansbrough and Drake May. And
John Henson, your boy John Henson.
Johnny Henson.
Justin Jackson.
That's right. All I do is work with freaking Tar Heels on that damn network. It's kind of a joke.
Guys that I grew up watching, you work with, which is pretty cool.
And are you like a fan of them, like when it comes to like their analysis still, or does it end at player?
No, I think they're good. I think Justin, okay. I heard Justin on the pod with you, what was it, last week?
Yeah.
And obviously, John Henson's been on there with you a bunch of times.
John's my boy.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, me
pretty
and good. John are pretty tight. It's been cool getting to know him for sure. He is a very humble guy to have made, I don't know, $60 million in his NBA career.
And you've done stuff with Hansbrough.
Me and Hansbrough, we're getting there.
Yeah, that's my favorite college basketball player of all time, Tyler Hansbrough. I still got the number 50 jersey back home in North Carolina. Like that's why I fell in love with basketball, is because of Psycho T, is what they called him.
Yeah, I don't think he likes that name, by the way. I don't think he's so.
My bad.
I mean, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm just saying, if you ever run into him, don't call him.
Don't know. Okay, I got you.
You know, I think he embraced it, but I don't think it was. It's not his favorite.
I got you.
So anyway, yes, I do so many shows with former North Carolina Tar Heels that it blows my mind sometimes. Let's mix it up a little bit, Goodman. All right, before we get to the Tigers, some news before you got in here. John Morant on the trade block. You came in here what year?
I came in here 2022 fall.
So that was kind of like September 1st, peak of his
901 day 2022 is when I got here.
And would that jive with like Jai being at the peak of his powers then? Is that what you remember?
That was coming off the win against Minnesota,
yes,
right?
In the
22 playoffs.
In
right?
A six-game series against the Warriors.
And
lost.
And the kind of off-the-court shenanigans stuff started once I arrived here, right? Like the strip club and the gun and all that stuff. So that happened in 2023.
Yeah, and now
so the vibes were completely different, man. When I got here,
and so what's your? I know you don't cover the Grizzlies, but it is the story of the day.
It is.
What is your from the outside opinion on the Grizzlies shopping Ja Morant?
I mean, it seemed inevitable, right? Like just based on developments over the past, not even just 4 or 5 months, but the past 2 years, quite frankly. Like the way this thing has soured, with one incident after another, his lack of availability, his lack of, at least from the outside looking in, buy-in, right? Like even on the court. With this coaching staff.
You covered the Grizz a couple times.
I filled in a couple times.
And was he playing in those games?
No. In fact, a lot. You know, I've filled in, I think, 4 or 5 times probably for Drew. And
you missed him every time.
And I want to say I probably saw him play twice, right? So, like, that alone tells you. I know it's a small sample size, but that alone tells you.
No, but
like,
if you extrapolate it out, that's about what Ja's playing, about 40% of his games right now.
Which is crazy.
40 to 50% of his games.
But, yeah, man, the vibes were just different. In Memphis as a sports city as a whole, but particularly with the Grizzlies when I got here, like they were supposed to be what the Thunder, maybe not to that level, but right, like kind of that up and coming team that was going to take that next step, and that next step never happened.
What do you say to fans that are saying this is the wrong move? We had a few of those that still hold on to a Ja Morant that is bought in, a Ja Morant that's on the floor, and I gotta be honest with you, Parth. I think I was one of those guys prior to 2025 that always said, best thing for the Grizzlies is Ja here. What do you say to those folks? Is their case wrong? Would you say they're fair to feel that way?
Yeah,
still
I heard somebody
hopeful of Ja
say the crime rate might might go back up, right? If Ja is straight, I think he was joking, obviously, but no, I think look, you can keep Ja, a Ja who may not be all the way bought in, who may not be available more than half the time, and you can kind of be stuck in this middle ground, right, where you're going to make the play-in, or you're going to make the playoff even as a 6 or 7 seed, and that's kind of it. But is that what anybody wants, right? Or do you want to really, you know, roll that dice and see if you can build around the other guys that actually want to be, you know, in this organization, in this city, right?
Yeah, folks that are volunteers, like we talked about.
Yeah.
Not hostages. That's the Mike Tomlin quote.
That's right.
You know that one, right?
That's right, yeah.
That's what I was referencing earlier.
Yeah. No, I think that's kind of how Ja's acting. You know, that he's being held hostage or you know, whatever the disconnect is between him and the front office and the coaching staff.
What will they get back, though? I mean, we saw the haul for Trae Young was, like, awful, just awful. I mean, if that's any indication about what the Grizzlies are going to, you know,
maybe there's more
return,
of a market for Ja if it's truly, you know, teams like Miami are truly interested.
I mean, Ja's a better player, right? We can all say that.
Can we?
He's done less in terms of career accomplishments, I would say, just in terms of winning.
Trae Young's been to more All-Star games. He's averaged more points for his career.
He's gone farther in the playoffs.
He's gone to an Eastern Conference Finals. He shoots better from three.
Ja's got one playoff series win.
I do want to take a step back, I would even say this at the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, he shoots 20% from three
this season.
I know, but this is what I have. I have a 20% shooter from three.
This season.
Is it going to change?
30, out of a six-year career, right? Career.
I mean, 31. Okay, 30, fine.
Okay, 31. It's not
good. I mean, yeah. That's what. So, and I have a 20% shooter this season. He's not going to come to me and become Klay Thompson or Tyrese Maxey. You know, I have to say, hey, his playmaking ability is what my team really misses. We have enough shooting around him where, you know, it'll be fine. Like it'd be an upgrade over Jalen Suggs, I guess. Like,
absolutely, right?
More playmaking. You know, he's not the defender that Suggs is, but, you know, he's a star. I don't know, though. I don't know that a team is going to be super desperate to send out anything decent for this version of John. Like, in 2022, I would have said, hey, this wouldn't even been a conversation.
Oh, man, his value.
You're like not
his,
trading John Morant. No way.
It was astronomically higher, I think, in 2022.
Said the Grizzlies had the best young core in the NBA. They were number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I mean, they were supposed to be next, right? Like, they were supposed to be what the Thunder are.
There was no talk of the Thunder. There was no talk of the Spurs. There was no talk of
exactly. Even more so, right? They didn't even, those things weren't even on the periphery, right?
Correct. So, like, and so.
And now those teams have not only made it to the stage, but they've surpassed.
Almost everybody surpassed you.
Exactly.
The only team that really hasn't is like the Mavs. And they passed you. They were ahead of you then because they had Luka.
Before they made that bonehead trade.
Right. They shot themselves in the foot on that one. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be, just like I think this is a little bit of a humbling for Ja, I think the Grizzlies front office is probably going to be, there's going to be a little bit of a reckoning there, thinking that if you think you're going to get some big return for this guy.
But why let this get out? Why not just do it kind of behind the curtain, right? Like, why make it known, hey, we want to get, because you lose all leverage once you do that.
Maybe.
Once everybody knows you're trying to get rid of a disgruntled star.
I think you lose leverage if it doesn't get out.
That's what we said about the Luka deal, that you should have put him on the market and someone would have offered you more than what the Lakers did, to John's point.
Different caliber of player, but yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, if you can put teams' offers against each other, as opposed to
I see what you're saying.
This is all done in private nobody knows.
But there's no way to reconcile from this.
If I'm just jumping back on him, if you've got the relationships in the league, can you not get that done behind the scenes, John? Can you not pit some teams? Can you not kick the tires on four or five different? If you've got the relationships to do that, you don't need Shams to come in here and announce to the world for you that you're considering doing this, that you're looking into it.
My guess is it was not leaked by the Grizzlies. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
That there was another party involved, right? That, you know,
I see what you're saying.
So I don't know that, but that would
because
be,
they would, if you're saying, would have preferred to have done this behind the scenes as opposed to it getting out there and everybody saying, well, he can't go back now and lowering your
I think leverage. The Grizzlies were incentivized to let Ja kind of handle the public piece of it because, you know, you kind of want to be able to put the toxicity on him
for sure.
You don't want to have
anything you say is going to hurt you.
Yeah, because people don't want to lose Ja. That's just reality. I think people can live with it.
Yep.
But if the return is not what we hope it will be, there will be blowback. Now, again, like it's not like it's there's going to be anything, you know, in terms of punishment, but
attendance, those are all things.
Attendance is already down now. Again, Ja's not playing.
Right.
But now he'll never play again, most likely.
Most likely.
And it's going to be a rebuild. So, you know, they have to make sure they get as many public relations wins as
right
possible.
They were right there, man.
Oh, there's still a road where Zach Lyman absolutely blows this.
Oh, but most definitely.
I mean, we've talked mostly about the job piece of this, but there's absolutely a road where Kleiman blows this.
Yeah, so I think there's still a lot left to go in terms of, you know, all right, now he's on the block. What's the next step? How do you handle it from here? Do you trade him? Do you somehow, I don't know that you can reconcile, but
No, there's no coming back from this, I don't think.
He has 2 years, man.
But you just... It's out there that you're trying to get rid of him.
It was out there for Giannis as well, that he was seeking a trade, and now he's back. So I will never rule anything out completely. I think it's a small chance that it gets reconciled.
It'll never be the same, right? Even if it's reconciled, it'll never pop the way it did in 22 or 21.
That's right. It will never be
It's not. It's not the same job.
But you're gonna try to convince other teams that it can be, right? That's the problem. Is that we know it's never gonna be that.
Yeah. Hey, but change of scenery. He might be great in Minnesota. You know,
it could.
That's the spin zone, right?
Could. Like, hey, I do think he could go somewhere else and be rejuvenated.
Yeah,
I think he's a little jaded here, and whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But I think he's a little jaded
here. He's got that big ass tattoo, right, on his back. Didn't he just get that this summer?
Yeah, but
what happens now?
I think
that?
We're taking too much.
Jason got a Panther tattoo. He don't root for Bryce Young this weekend.
And they can laser those things off. I did that when I was a child.
You're a Carolina Panthers fan?
No, you're going too
North
far.
Carolina.
No, it was actually a Lawrence Moten Panther. So very hard to describe.
Gotcha.
And we lost him recently.
We did lose
Rest
Lawrence
peace,
Moten, but he lives on via Jason's arm.
Giant.
He does live
Let's
on.
Let's not confuse Parth. Clearly, he's easily confused.
Well, he does have a Panther tattoo. It's just not the Carolina Panther.
This is not
Panther.
The Carolina Panther. This is not my home.
You have a playoff game this weekend.
They have a playoff game this weekend. Yeah, they do.
Are you a Panther fan?
By default. I hopped on the bandwagon, you know, when the Cam thing was really jumping.
Yeah.
I was a freshman, I think, in high school, and that was kind of the
Cam thing's happening again. He's just media now.
I mean, it started when I was a freshman in high school, and it continued all the way through my freshman year of college, right? With the whole dab or whatever.
The dab.
Yeah, interesting times.
The Superman.
But that kind of dissipated quick after those, four, five, 6 years.
So. Right. You guys sucked after that. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens both with John Morant and with Jason's quarterback, Bryce Young, this weekend.
We will.
Big home dogs this weekend, no question about it. All right. We have some matters to attend to with the Memphis Tigers. On the road, Sunday, matinee game. Are they going up against football? That's going to be kind of brutal. But they are going to be on the road at FAU, which looks like one of the better teams in the league. Is that fair to say?
Dude, KenPom's got it as a one-point Memphis loss, 76-75. Like, yeah. And that environment, I know, look, we all joke about it being a high school gym and it only seating 2,000 and some change. It is rowdy, bro. It is rowdy.
What holds 2,000 people? And it's like 800 square feet.
Okay, that's a home court advantage. The student section is on top of the court. It's kind of like Cameron Indoor a little bit in that sense where the students
there
are on top.
There's no way you just compared FAU's gym to Cameron Indoor.
Like a diet Cameron Indoor
with Ozempic
stadium.
And GLP.
Exactly.
Come on, bro.
But you get what I'm saying. Like that's the idea. Like 2 years ago, right?
I mean, if I tweeted out that you just compared Cameron Indoor.
They were at Louisville, man. I mean, it's not like this team's going to be intimidated by some
big
crowd of 2,000. That's
pants,
a little bit
man.
Of,
I
know,
didn't say that.
No, what you did do is you compared it to the Cameron Indoor. If I tweeted that out.
In terms of the
say,
students
part,
being
part,
on top of the court.
Tell it to the
that
judge,
close
man.
To the action.
You were down in court earlier today. Tell it to the judge. We'll let the public decide.
Like where I'm sitting here, I guess listeners can't see, but where I'm sitting now.
They can see.
Oh, okay. And where John said, like, where John's at would be the player inbounding the ball. Does that make sense? Like, they're that close.
Yeah. I'm not intimidated by that. I got to tell you, it doesn't intimidate me. I'm not
and
worried about
loud,
it at all.
Man. Like, 2 years ago in Dusty May's final, it was his final regular season game coaching there. Like, Lisa Leslie was there. Antonio Brown was there. Chris Carter.
They're not going to be there this week.
They ain't going to be there this week. But it was popping, man. It was a spectacle.
Memphis won there last year by 30.
Yeah, with PJ, with All-American guard and Dane Danger. And
that's true.
They have an All-American guard right now. Curtis Givens. I mean, essentially, pseudo All-American.
Future All-American? What are you trying to say?
I know that Dane is not quite Aaron.
You mean like American Conference?
Yeah,
he said if you squint your eyes and tilt your head.
you don't think Simon Majak is basically Dane Danger?
Oh, man.
It's like you were talking about a diet. I think it's probably going to be a loss for Memphis this weekend. That'd be my
guess.
You
think so?
Yeah.
I think they'll win. I think it'll be ugly.
They're not just going to win on the road like they did last year. It's not going to be that kind of
30, but they can win by 3, 4, 5.
Do me a favor. KenPom's washed. I'm just telling you that right now. The people that I talk to, they don't even use
it. What are you using?
Torvik.
I just gave him my money again.
What's Torvik?
I gave my money again too.
Well, you can write it off. Is Grisby W2 or W9?
Let's see what Torvik's talking about. So Torvik's got the Tigers at 69th in the country. And they've got the FAU. They got it as a win.
Torvik?
75-73 win for the Tigers.
That's a huge swing, though, from
Bart
a one-point
Torvik.
Loss.
Yeah, no, it's really, that's what I'm saying. It's not. Yeah.
I just trust Torvik's numbers in 2026 more than I trust KenPom's.
We know.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I just think that's
there's
been a shift.
Bro. They're,
I know, but there is a difference between a one-point loss and a two-point win. It's everything. It's everything right now.
To the team, but like in terms of, yeah, sure.
Have we learned anything in these three wins, Parth? If you'd put something at the top in terms of bullet point things we learned in this three win?
That's a good question. I think last game, if you're taking Penny at face value, mm-hmm. in terms of he only played 8 guys that second half, right? And he's saying, look, we finally found something. He told us after the game that, it was the first time he could look out on the court during that rally back. They're down 13 at Rice. They're rallying back, whatever. Which is sad to say in itself, but whatever. First time he saw 5 guys that were engaged and locked in and cohesive and together and just would not lose that basketball game. And that's why in the second half you saw that core 5 play along with I think three others, right? Like Ashton Hardaway.
Yeah, who are the other two? Because it was eight, wasn't it?
It was eight guys that played the second half.
We shortened it up, and we've sort of been saying, when's this going to happen, to your point?
I just find it hard to, like...
Stick with it is the question.
And that's what I'm saying. I know Penny says that, but that eight did not include Curtis Givens. That eight did not include Quante Berry.
Right.
That eight did not include 0 minutes for three big men, right? William Morton, Tierno Sila, and Tariq Ingram. All log 0 minutes. Is that going to be consistent? Like, those guys have started. Some of those guys have started games, you know? And Curtis Givens is a guy who scored 20-plus points multiple times. Like, is he all of a sudden going to be out of favor? For what reason? Yeah. So I just don't know how, you know.
If it's realistic.
If it's realistic and if this is something he's going to stick to or not. But to answer your question, those eight were, so Doug McDaniel, Zach Davis, Ashton Hardaway, Simon Majok, Aaron Bradshaw, and looks like, yeah, Sincere Parker, Julius Thedford, Hassan Abdul-Hakim. Those were the eight.
I mean, that's the eight.
Are those the best eight players on this basketball team?
Is he going to stay with the eight is the question.
No, he will not.
It could go wrong Sunday.
I feel like Penny's never done it. I feel like Penny's never.
Yeah, I mean, when he's been forced to. Like last season, he only had 11 scholarship players.
Was a short rotation.
At first, it wasn't, though. It didn't shorten until, like, January, February.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know what the obsession is with that. I mean, it's a new kind of year where you're like, you just know in January that they have to win the conference tournament to make the tournament.
Yeah, like, this is crazy, right?
Like, we haven't really
when's the
been
last time? Yeah.
In that scenario in a while. Maybe his first year.
Yeah.
I mean, because remember, even in those years where you underachieved, you still had cracks at Houston. So you could tell yourself, like, hey, let's just be Houston once.
Cracks at Cincy. I know Cincy was not top 10 or anything like that, but that was a top 50-ish, you know, perennial top 50-ish net team.
I mean, all of it leads
UCF
back to
was
the,
decent.
SMU. Know, what we always say is, like, you got to get out of this league. Like, they can't, obviously, or else they would. But, you know.
What's fair to expect, pardon, not to interrupt you, John, but I want fair to expect in terms of losses in the league, a final record as you hope to be the, you know, one seed in the conference tournament?
I think,
what do you think?
Well, one or two seed, right? It doesn't really make much of a difference if you're the two, but I think 14-4. Anything below that, I don't think you can get.
I think they'll just be 13-5. I mean, that's just my guess.
It's not going to get you a two seed, is it? I don't think so.
It might.
It could, but.
And that other team would be, in your eyes, still Tulsa? Would it be South?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Who's the team that's above them in that scenario?
In that scenario, if they go 14-4 and somebody else finishes, I don't know, 15-3, I think it'd be South Florida, man. Like,
well, I knew it was one of the two for you.
Yeah, like they've hung around with Bama. They really beat Utah State thoroughly, right, by 12 points. Like,
there's a lot of cannibalization in the American this year.
Yeah, well, that's worse than
there is. There is.
Because UAB,
it's a lot of parity,
UAB beat South Florida, FAU beat UAB, Tulsa lost to North Texas. Yeah, so I don't know. I have no clue. I mean, I don't really care.
Well, to me, they got
to
be one. I don't know, five.
I would say by default,
lot.
Memphis is definitely. And like,
you're right. It won't matter conference tournament and what you got to do because you'll right. Well, I'm saying you need to be one based on the rest of this stuff. But you're right from an advancing in the conference tournament standpoint, it won't matter if you're one or two. But I would tell you that. With as much talent as you still have, I know it. Sometimes it looks like there's not a pecking order or rotation. So this should still be regular season number one to me.
Yeah.
If, you know, five might be two.
Yeah, maybe not comfortably, but certainly by a game or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
because when it came down to it, you had enough talent to beat Rice when you finally, you know, sort of bolted down. But
right.
It should be like that in the majority of the nights. You're going to have five conference losses? Boy, that's getting crazy.
But just the fact that
this is as bad as it's ever been.
They were down by 13 to Rice.
I know, I watched it. They've had some nightmares down there.
Like, if you can fall behind by 13 to Rice with nobody in that building, you can fall behind at anybody.
We learned that with you. We learned that with UNLV, though. We learned that this team will lose.
Well, that was different, though, right? Because UNLV game, they didn't try, or like, it was an effort issue. This, I don't think this is an effort issue. This is, hey, like,
okay.
Does that make sense? It was a discombobulation issue, quite frankly, is what it looked like to me.
I don't care what the issue is.
I think it was discombobulation and effort.
Yeah,
all of it, but to your point.
I guess we're splitting.
You're trying to split some atoms here. It's all the same.
You should give him a little credit there. You know,
he's
playing hard at least now.
Exactly.
And no, he's right. I mean, at least we're not having to question effort at the end of these games.
Rice
and we were
last night? Wichita State.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Rice is a dreadful team. Nobody ever said Memphis wasn't going to be the best in the American, though. Like,
right.
We always said
yeah,
that
yeah, I don't
they,
think we need to, yeah.
You know, we said nobody said what?
Nobody ever said that Memphis wouldn't be the best team in the
But to this point, that's not going to shift anything if they're the two, so they still
right,
have to
same.
Win the conference
same.
Tournament.
Yeah.
You get the double buys both.
I mean, obviously, I think, again, it paints a picture like, damn, you didn't win the American, you couldn't win the American,
yeah.
but if you win the tournament, I just, let's see how it all, I mean, none of it gives me great hope.
Is 12 or 13 seed, Parth? Is that
think,
if you do
think,
win it all? That
yeah,
you're
I think 13, right? Because you look at most projections right now, whether it's ESPN's Bracketology or CBS Sports or whoever, they have they had Tulsa, and I think now they may still have Tulsa, but it's either Tulsa or USF that most people have as the 13. So I think you know Memphis wins that league. Obviously, you sub in for that team.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a
tough spot to be in, man. 13
I think Sunday's
well,
game
had him
will
playing
be
Texas Tech. I think as a four.
Yikes.
Jeez. We talked about when we first came in here to start the week.
Sunday's game will be very instructive, I think.
You think so?
Yes, because if they win, I'll be like, you know, they probably can go 15-3 in this league. They probably
if
can.
If they win by one, you'll have confidence?
I just think they're not going to.
I think they're going to win.
FAU, I value as one of the four best in the league, and if you can win there, you know, you're probably just not going to take many L's.
FAU is 102 in Ken Pom, bro.
Right, it's one of the four best. That's one of the four best. I mean. You use their metrics. If you use the numbers, who's higher?
Per Ken Pom, let's see.
Memphis,
right,
Tulsa, South Florida.
Memphis, Tulsa, South Florida, and Wichita State, barely.
Okay, so they're one of the five best.
Yep.
So that's what
half of the league for sure.
And that's what I'm saying. Top so if you can win there in a standalone game on Sunday on ESPN,
in a rowdy environment like yeah,
it's the Cameron Indoor of South
Cameron
Florida,
Cameron Indoor of the American,
right? So I mean, who's gonna beat them? I mean, I do think, like, that Rice game.
I think Tulsa's very capable of beating Memphis.
The Tulsa lost to North Texas, right?
I think they don't match up. Like, Tulsa shoots a lot of threes, right? And makes a lot of threes as well. If Memphis can't respond, it's just going to be, I can see that one getting away from them.
We'll see. We'll see. They were, you know, they could have easily lost to Rice. But they didn't play well against Rice at all, and it was still too much, you know? So I just think that's going to be their existence in this league.
Have you seen Fred Smith Jr. at Briarcrest, and what's the hold up there, man? All of the city seems to think it's been a no-brainer that he's going to, you know, commit and then eventually sign with Memphis.
Yes.
Have you watched him as a player, and then, you know, do you think he ultimately ends up there?
I've seen the highlights. He had this nasty dunk. It wasn't a windmill. I forgot what kind of dunk it was, but it was.
I think he's getting more.
I think Devin Walker had posted it.
He's getting more athletic. I will say, to your point.
I mean, he's certainly fun to watch. Bouncy.
His dad was like Globetrotter hops, bro.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Where did his father, like, where did he play? What's his story?
I don't know the whole story, but I know played professionally for the Globetrotters in terms of schools
and
everything.
Oh, you were joking. Legitimately he was a Globetrotter.
Yeah, I think he legit played for the Globetrotters, if I'm not mistaken.
That's crazy. Smith,
his dad can still dunk, which is outrageous because I think he's in his.
That's nuts.
Maybe his 50s or whatever. I know we're getting the sign there.
Oh, we got.
We can take a break and come back with Parth. We just haven't broke our breaks this year.
No,
this
hey,
hours,
we're not going to do that anymore as part of the new show. As the new slot, we're no longer taking.
Oh, congratulations, y'all! Congratulations!
Oh, thank you,
man.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Man. Really happy for y'all.
We're going to figure out a new time slot for you. You know, we're going to get you up a little early. You already got the coffee, so that'll work out great for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We'll fly in, Parth.
Yeah,
fly me in from downtown to East Memphis. Love that.
Don't act like you're too good to catch a little flight, man.
Little PJ from
flight.
From downtown.
Catch flights, not feelings. Parth Upadhyay,
yes,
Daily
sir.
Memphian.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy Florida,
appreciate
man.
You, brother.
Always will. Thank you.
We'll come back. J&J, 90.5 ESPN.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Black Tie Moving has changed the move in the city of Memphis. I know somebody that might need them. Whether you're moving in Memphis, out of Memphis, cross town, cross country, they are the best in town. Give them a call. 316-6196 is the phone number. I've used them twice. If I ever have to move again, I'll call them. They show up when they say they're going to show up. They say on the budget that you guys agree to. They are truly the best in town. But you got to get on the schedule. Call them. 316-6196. Black Tie Moving, change the movement in the city of Memphis. News today, big breaking news on the show. Ja Morant on the trade block doesn't necessarily mean that he will be traded or moved, but he is, in fact, on the trading block as we speak. That news from Shams Charania. Just for, you know, people's records here, Ja Morant over the last 3 years has played fewer games than the following players: Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Zion Williamson, LaMelo Ball. He has played one more game than Joel Embiid. These are five of the most unavailable players in the NBA today.
Players that we make fun of for being unavailable.
AD, wow. AD has played almost double the amount of games that Ja Morant has over the last 3 years.
They call him Day to Davis.
So just a little perspective for you on this Friday that, you know, that's going to be part of that trade discussion as well.
Yep.
That, hey, yo, this dude don't play.
Is he going to come to work?
Yeah. I mean,
he's going to come to work, at least a new team. Now, whether or not he's going to get, you know, knocked out of the air and then you got a hip and all that stuff is it's going to be the question. Yeah, you know, Ja, the way he plays, will be the question for the next team. Some of the questions teams are certainly asking themselves as they ponder this.
Yeah.
Whether it's a good move. Well, Minnesota would be asking themselves.
It's really hard to justify sending much out if you can't depend on him being available. That's going to be the issue that they run into. Now, I mean, I'll never say never. I'll never say never in terms of a deal not getting done.
Well, I would, if I'm making a case the other way, that if I'm a front office and I look at the way Memphis has handled Ja, I think I could make a case of convincing myself that they have mishandled him.
Yeah.
Didn't help him enough in his development, right? And especially these veteran front offices, more veteran front offices, that it's going to look a lot different with me, right? Now, the availability thing and the injuries, that's something you're going to have to come to terms with. There's no debating that or trying to spin it your way and convince yourself. He's got to hold up. And we've talked about, does he have to change his game to do it, whatever else. But to that point, you could look at this situation with the Grizzlies if you were another front office and say, well, they have completely screwed this up. I understand why Ja's frustrated, right? Maybe all you need is one or two, and then you got a little bit of a market. Maybe you can – but – listen, what did Atlanta got back? A couple of expirings. It can be better than that, John, in the sense that if you get, okay, no, it's not a superstar. You had a caller saying, get a super, no. But a young player pick, you know, if that happens, that's more for you than what, I mean, Atlanta's is different. That payoff is flexibility after those contracts expire. But, hey, I will take young player. It may never equate to superstar in one even of Ja's, you know, one of Ja's potential, but that's what the direction you've got to go here.
It is.
Not taking expiring contracts.
Right. Because you're not going to be
player,
able to.
You need picks.
Right. The reason why you don't want an expiring is because the Grizzlies can't do anything with it. The Grizzlies can't do anything with an expiring contract. They're not going to be able to use that money on a free agent.
Right, exactly. Free agency is an issue for us. Yeah.
So the young player is the thing.
We can't get them.
And picks.
The elite ones.
The way, I mean, it's by point. The way, Oklahoma City is the same way. I mean, they did bring in Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah, that becomes easier once you become good and you got a guy like Shea leading you, Shea better.
But they had to trade for Shea. They had to draft Jalen Williams. Yeah. They had to draft Chet Holmgren. They had to draft those guys. And then they got into that system and they loved it and they stayed and they won a title. But when you're a Memphis or an OKC, when you're a Jazz, there's very few teams. Like, I think Atlanta is probably a team that could attract some free agents, although I doubt they're even super high on lists. But they probably think they can. You know, you gotta operate.
Homegrown. Spurs were that.
Small ball. I mean, I don't mean that negatively. Or money ball. Like, King George plays fantasy. You know? You got to do transactions like that. That's not bad. I mean, they found Cam Spencer in the second round. They got Cedric Howard 11th. You know, it's not like, you know, they haven't done that before, and they'll do it again. This is an exciting draft. You have a lot of really good guards. You got Darius Acuff, and I'm getting out of the top three here, right, because the Grizzlies probably aren't going to have top three.
Yeah.
But Darius Acuff is out there. LeBaron Filon is out there. You know, you got, you know, lots of other, you know, there's a third name that I'm blanking on right now that's like in that, you know, 5 to 10 range that the Grizzlies could conceivably be picking at. There's a lot of, you know, good young guards that the Grizz could draft with, and they got two picks. This is actually a good, This is a good draft to need a guard in, is what somebody told me yesterday.
They need to get somebody who can probably shoot, right? I mean, besides Spencer, who they have.
Everybody in that, every NBA player in 2026 has to be able to shoot. It doesn't matter what position they
play. I guess Filon would be good. You know, I
think Filon is an elite player.
Yeah, he's great.
So
local connection.
It is going to be a rebuild, though.
Yeah.
And I am very skeptical, Jason, about the idea of building around Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, that's what they said in that. That's what Shams said in that tweet. I mean, I guess that's kind of by default because he's your $50 million max guy that left. But
yeah,
I'm not sure that's going to get you what you want either.
Well, they just did the deal with him, and he does come to work.
He does.
For as much as we say, and he wasn't at one time and still is not in terms of for the season living up to the new money. He does come to work. You trust him.
Yep.
Right? When you ask him to speak to fans, to do the right thing, to speak after games to media, he fulfills his obligations. It's not a deal where you're talking about moodiness with him. You don't have to worry about Jaren Jackson Jr. calling out the coach after a game.
Yep.
It's not, nothing's going to break like that. So,
Kingston Flemings is the other, the Houston point guard. Nice beast. Stuff. Kingston Flemings, Darius Acuff. You know, even that kid, Michael Brown Jr. at Louisville, who I don't believe is going to play for a while, but he's on that list. There's some good players, you know, in around the 10 range where the Grizzlies could conceivably be drafting.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
He's made. He got to do it.
Don't be scared in terms of
trading.
It can go okay. There will be life after John Morant in Memphis.
1,000%. Don't be scared.
New era for the J&J show.
We want workers. We want volunteers, not hostages.
That's right.
Mike Tomlin.
And we're going to be working from 9 to noon starting Monday.
That's right.
So it's thank a new. You. We want to thank the sports news gods for dropping the bombs for us here on our last midday show.
They did this it is again. It.
This is the one. Thanks for everybody that supported us in this midday slot
Real
over
talk.
The years.
Thank you. Each
you know,
and everyone.
That was very important. And please stay with us as we move to the mornings. For Jay Sun. I'm John. We're gone.